Okay, I'll put this down. I'm Tom.
Tom!
And thanks, Mike, for asking in that opening whistle. It definitely calmed my nerves. I guess we're here tonight to talk about Sponsee and sponsorship, because Eric's my sponsor. And he's been a big part of my life in this program. I wanted to read this little, I found a good reading in Courage to Change about sponsorship. It's December 28th. One effect of alcoholism is that many of us are reluctant to get close to people. We have learned that it's not safe to trust, to reveal too much, to care deeply. Yet we often wish we could experience closer, more loving relationships. Al-Anon suggests a gentle way of approaching this goal, sponsorship. By asking someone to sponsor me, I express a willingness to experience more intimate relationships. When he or she is there for me, returning my calls, offering support, caring, I develop a basis for trust. I realize that my sponsor also has a life and that sometimes he or she will not be available. Because our relationship shows me that people can be reliable, I'm better able to reach out to others in the fellowship. My sponsor helps me learn to receive love, but I also learn about giving. Someone who demonstrates unconditional love and still cares of his or her own needs, who offers support without telling me what to do, can be a wonderful role model. I can best put what I learn into practice by passing it on. And today's reminder, intimacy can be one of life's great gifts. I will avail myself of its benefits by reaching out to an Al-Anon friend today. And the quote here is, the interchange between sponsor and sponsored is a form of communication that will nourish both of you. And I really love that reading because it's sort of in my experience. my first meeting I met Eric. It was an adult child in Burbank. I was going through a real difficult time financially. I was behind in the rent with a roommate that was very angry. And that brought up a lot of my past with my family. I grew up with a rageaholic father who would belittle me. A lot around money too, actually. So it was a big trigger. And I remember cowering in my room with the lights off, like, I hope she doesn't like berate me again. And she had every right to. I mean, I was just, this fear just didn't help the situation. So I remember I called this friend in another program, and he says, oh, I'm at this adult child, Al-Anon adult child focus in Burbank. And then this voice in me says, you better get to that meeting, because you're having a hard time. So I sort of snuck out of her place and drove there, and I walked in, and like Eric, you know, like a lot of you guys in this meeting do, go up to the newcomer, and I remember he came up to me, and I said, you know, I don't feel safe. That's the first thing that came out of my mouth, and he goes, yeah, safety is a good thing. And my first reaction is, that's not a normal response for someone. I said, this guy seems to know something about being unsafe, basically. You know? So that sort of started the journey. It would be probably several years actually that I asked him. And he used to have a lot of parties at his house after the meeting. That was a really awesome meeting. Got to know a lot of people, and through that meeting, I went to another meeting. So I don't know how serious I was. I was in other programs. I didn't know how serious I was going to be in Al-Anon, but I knew I was really having a hard time. All my old stuff from my family came up. I had a father, basically my story is my father, not an alcoholic, but untreated, an adult child. And he would rage, and I'd constantly live in fear, and didn't know what he was gonna be like. My mom was sort of like not in the picture, so I mean, she just succumbed to him, basically, because she didn't want his wrath either. And they've had these really blowout fights. And most of us in our family just basically trying to survive, you know, just trying to deal with it all. And I knew I was gay, and it was very hard because I didn't want to really be who I was, so I had to hide that. A lot of secrets, just hiding a lot of things in my life. And, you know, just basically hiding. So that's pretty much how I grew up. And so when anyone raged, I was a big trigger, you know. And it's no coincidence that I would attract a lot of ragers. That seems to be what happens when people pick that up, or just, they just come into your life. You know, I had bosses that would rage on me, and it would be one after another. And so I was in another program. I was 5 years in another program. I wanted to commit suicide. I found a woman sponsor who talked a lot about this kind of stuff, the family stuff. And she, when I told her I wanted to commit suicide, she goes, okay, that's good. I go, you're sick. But I know what she meant. She meant, you're ready to really surrender. You know, you're at the level. And I ended up working the steps with her, and she became like my spiritual mother. It's amazing how we find people in this program that become your brothers, your fathers, your sisters. She became like my spiritual mother. I never had a really good relationship with my mother because she was always depressed. It wasn't really present. A lot of tranquilizers and stuff, so we had her own issues. But this woman, I remember, she would make her sponsees get up in a meeting. And she would say, these people would stand up, and I know they were her sponsors, because she would tell them to get up there and say, I'm a magnificent creation of my heart, of my higher power. They would just stand up and say that, and I felt like, I think I know her, that person's sponsor. But every time it would just get to me, because it was something that these people would never experience. She just talked about never looking at people's eyes, looking at their feet. She told the story, she had a partner, and she would hear these steps coming down the hallway, and she'd be running out the door, like she thought it was her mother. I mean, that's the kind of trauma she had. And she talked about going up like in a concentration camp, and that's when I decided to say, I need to talk to this woman, and she's just speaking to me. And that was the next journey. And her reason she died, and she actually reunited back with her family, and had a great spiritual life. She's the one who told me to go out and find a spiritual community, and really got me on the spiritual path that I was really seeking. That's the solution to me. It's a spiritual solution. That's what the whole program's about. And so getting back to Alan, I it took me a long time. I think at first time I asked there, it's like, I don't even think I said, could you be my sponsor? And then I said, are you asking me to be your sponsor? I couldn't even get the words out. I go, yeah. He goes, and of course, like a lot of guys say, I must be honored. And that's a really powerful thing. And when everyone says that, and that woman used to say, I will never desert you. I will never abandon you. And to me, that's the same thing, you know. And because I felt that all my life, neglected, I was bullied and abandoned. So we started the journey. We didn't get to the steps right away. He was going through some stuff, which, you know, he had to change his sponsors. But when we started really getting into the steps, something, you know, just started to change in my life. Especially the first step when I realized all these things I did to try to control alcoholism. And it was just insanity, you know. I was just totally crazy. And I wasn't living life. I was just sort of like going through life. You know, I was surviving basically. And it manifested in all areas of my life, in jobs and money. I just couldn't, and I had to figure it out, which is not what the first step's about. It's not about figuring it out, and I just had to surrender. And I believe that's like the most important thing about getting a sponsor, is surrendering. You're saying, this, I can't do this alone, and I know I can't do it alone. I have to ask for help. And that's a daily thing that I have to do. That's pretty much, I have to do that every day, ask for help, whether it's my higher power or picking up the phone and calling someone. So the power of sponsorship is asking another person, I can't do this alone, and I need help. And if you're new out there, you know, avail yourself to the gift of being sponsored. It's really, you're not bothering them. I thought that they're a bother, you know. This is the way I felt in my family. My dad was a workaholic, he didn't really have much time. I never really talked to him. I felt like I'm a bother, you know, why I'm even here. And I don't blame him, I mean, that's just the way he grew up. He had a pretty abusive father too. And so it's just the way he grew up. He didn't know what a father, I don't think he really knew how to be a father. It's not an easy thing. And if you go through all the trauma and the disease of alcoholism, you really don't know how to be a father. So, but I realized that I had to surrender and be assertive, you know. I gotta ask for my recovery, you know. It's not gonna be given to you. You know, I gotta pick up that phone. And that woman, she would tell me, she goes, oh, she didn't work the steps with me right away. She said, here's my number, call me. And I called her. And you know, know, she turned around and said, you know how many people call me? Maybe 1 in 10 call me. And I'm thinking, wow, why wouldn't they want, what would they want this? But I wanted it. And I know she had what I wanted because she was living a full life. She was in joy, you know? She was helping other people. She was being of service. And she just had these loving people surrounding her. That partner of hers died and she just dove right into the program and was like totally lifted up by the program. And that's because she was in the middle of the program. She was sponsoring people. She had sponsees. She was like, people would just come in her house and start crying. I was at her house one time, this woman just started coming in and cry. And she goes, okay, right there. And they would sleep on her couches. And I'm just like, I don't, you know, I never seen anything like that. And it was just pure, unconditional love. And I graduated from college and she gave me a party. And she, and my parents didn't come to my graduation because I dropped out of school and I went back. She was there and we had a party and another person, one of our other sponsees. So I never had a family like that. It wasn't until I came to recovery that I found my true family, that I can now go back to my actual family and be of service now. So what really get to the meat of the program, I guess, was the fourth step, which I'm on my fifth step right now. And I meet with Eric every week and we talk and well, he does most of the time. But you know what, I just get so much wisdom. I just love him, you know. He's just a really cool guy. He lets me be who I am, you know. I went through so much shit in the last couple of years. I left the job. I walked out of a job because I couldn't take it anymore. I was being abused. And I remember sitting outside his apartment on the steps and I said, and by the way, I never told my dad I was ever fired from a job. I never told him anything about my life because I know what would happen. You piece of shit, you can't keep a job. What the hell, you know, it'd be this long tirade. But I said, no, I can't tell him. You just don't leave a job without another job. That's just totally crazy. But I said, well, you've got to tell him. And I told him, he goes, well, I guess you're going to have to depend on your higher power now, aren't you? And you know what? I did. And I was totally taken care of. And I even won the lottery. I mean, talk about being taken care of at a really desperate time in my life. And everything just worked out. I was almost homeless. I found a place to live. Through someone in my church. I mean, everything just worked out. I found the job. I was told to get out of his house and I had to move and got a job within a month. And like my higher power was just really working. But I couldn't have done that without you guys. You know, I don't know how people do without support that we got like in the 12th step. It's this unconditional love and support. And then there's like not judging. It's just like, and that's pretty much what I experienced in my sponsors. You know, they've just been amazing. And through Eric and so, like I said, I'm working through I'm doing like a very, like an autobiographical fourth step that's really, really deep. Because there's, I go deep. And that's a good thing though, because I need to get through a lot of this stuff. And it's amazing, the more I see about myself and who I really am, the more I realize I'm definitely not unique. I'm meant part of the group. I'm not unique. And that there's something, that everything I thought was wrong in other people, it's something in me, and I didn't. Eric always points that out. I'll say, well, this one does this and this one does that. He goes, is there anything in that person that you see in yourself? And I don't want to, of course, I don't want to say that. Because I want to hold on to resentment. It's so easier to be a victim and say, that one's doing this to me. And why does that one do that? Why is it? But I do. Everything I see in my family and people at work is something that's within me, that's going on with me. I've done all those stuff. So it's like, I'm not so unique, so I know. And it gets to the point of having these things removed and start being, being a service. And I haven't sponsored in this program. I am open to sponsoring. I have sponsored other programs, not always successful, but I had 5 sponsees at one time. It was totally crazy. I raised my hand and all of a sudden all these people were asking me to sponsor them. And I sort of had a meltdown. I didn't know how to be you know, in people's lives. I didn't know a lot, you know, being a family girl, I didn't know much about relationships. So, you know, this one would be crying, this one would be raging. I didn't know what the fuck to do. I remember one came, and I told him a lot about this fellowship, and a couple of came, you know, and which is cool, and actually came to this offsite. And I remember one came one day right before 7 o'clock rock, and he just started crying. No, he didn't express any words, just started crying. So, didn't try to fix him, which is something my family would do. You know, don't cry, you know, I'll show you something to cry about. I just stayed present. And this was shown to me by my sponsors. They don't try to fix me. They just listen to me, or they just are present with me. So I just stood there, and I'm thinking, is he gonna keep crying? And I hugged him, I loved him. And today, I'm not sponsoring any longer, but his life has totally changed. He's sponsoring people now. He's helping a lot of people through social, like not a social worker, but I don't believe that's the same person. I just cannot believe that. And that's the power of the rooms. It's just totally, and he came to this offsite and just pointed me out and started crying, and I just started crying because I knew what he had been through, and he had a very abusive father also. So that's what it's really about. It's like what I've gone through, I can help someone else that's gone through the same thing. And I remember that one that raged at me, I was scared as, really scared, because I told him he cursed a lot. I said, which is not a good thing to say, well, that's not a good sign of maturity, to swear. And he goes, what did you say to me? And it's like he walked up to me, and I had all my sponsors around me, and they're all saying, don't worry, Tom, we'll protect you. It was so beautiful. It was like, it was the most beautiful thing I ever experienced. Like, my other sponsor said, don't worry, Tom, he's not going to hurt you. But then later, when I called the spot, and a lot of my sponsors became friends with each other, which is sort of how the program works. Like, I'm friends with my sponsor brothers. It's like I have a family now. And he shared that he went home, and he shared that he was just a scared little kid. He said, why did he desert me? Why did he say those things to me? He was really afraid. Had nothing to do about what I said to him. And I felt so bad after that. And we ended up having, you know, he left me as a sponsor after that, obviously. but he's grown so much. He's in a relationship now, and he's just grown as in he's sponsoring people. And that's what it was really about. I thought it was, you know, it triggered both of our stuff, which was sort of interesting. But it was really something for growth. It was all about growth. And so I wasn't a perfect sponsor, and the last person I sponsored, she sort of disappeared. And I have sponsored women, which I think is awesome, because I relate to a lot of their issues. And this particular person had an issue with her father too, who was an addict, and I tried to get her into this program, but I don't know where she's at now, but I'm sure higher power is taking care of her. And it's just so eye-opening to me how this disease works, and it's just so powerful. It does so much destruction, and it hurts so many people. And I see in my own family, there's not like a lot of drinking, but there's a lot of dysfunction. And like I shared earlier, I went to my niece's wedding, and my nephew he had this very lost look on his face, and I just started crying every time I look at him. So I said, well, maybe I should go up there and just give him my number and just say, hey, if you ever need, I wasn't really much in my several nephews' lives, because I was just so preoccupied with myself and my disease. And I gave him my number. I said, yeah, if you ever need someone to talk to. And interestingly enough, he had been to an AA meeting. He goes, yeah, I went with a friend. So I wonder if that was a sign, maybe someone was trying to help him. And so I gave him my number and leave the rest of my higher power. I just want to be there for him. And he was pretty out of control at times. He would be abusive to me a few times. But then I realized the disease manifests in a lot of different ways. And I don't have anything to share about. You know, just like there's no perfect. I've learned a lot about how to be in a relationship. Like I was to say, Eric's probably the longest relationship I've been with a man. That didn't involve sex. I've not had any intimate relationship that long with someone that really knows me And I've had to learn about, we've gone a lot of trips. I have to talk about this because we've gone on these trips together. And he's been the most fun person to go on a trip with. And there was a few times we got a little, there was anger expressed, but it was never like, we always like worked on it. We talked it out. I remember one time he got really angry. I left something at the camp and we were heading somewhere. And he got really angry. And I said, right away I went back to my like little child. I'm like, you stupid idiot. Why did you get out of this car now? And the ironic thing about it, he had left something too at the and I felt like, what is this kind of joke by my higher power? It's like, what the fuck? No way. And I know if that was my dad, he goes, well, I don't, he would never acknowledge that he left anything. It's like, you asked, you did this and this. And it just, it changed the whole thing. I guess we have a reason to go back anyway. And it was just such a neat experience. And we just had a blast. He was like screaming in the car, like two little kids. And it just was just the most, just a lot of fun. And as a kid, we used to have a lot of fun on vacations with my dad. That's when his little kid would come out. But the minute he'd get home, he'd say, get that out of the car. He'd start throwing things. And like his little kid would run right back in the closet. Well, when we get back, we talk all about all the fun we had. I go, there's no rage here. I said, I like the way these trips end. And it's just been a lot of fun. And, you know, next year we're going to the International Convention. And I'm looking forward to that. And, you know, he's just become a really good friend. And like an equal, and I feel like it's a two-way street. Sponsor is not all about, you know, he's on a pedestal, and I've put sponsors on pedestals, and that doesn't work at all because they fall. You know, when they fall, that's like not a great experience. And I see that, but now I just feel like we're equal. We're just like the other. There's another program that calls us fellow travelers. I really like that term. Like we're on the same path, you know, and we've both gone through a lot of shit, and we're gonna get there. With our higher power's help, you know. He always brings God into it, all the time. And I like that, you know, and the sense of humor, I gotta laugh. I didn't come into the program to be a clown. And, you know, we do the most inappropriate things and everything. Like, we were looking at the rocks in this cavern one time, and I'm saying all the obscene things I think the rocks look like. And I could never have done that with my father. It's like, I can't do it a lot of people. Well, Tim, I can. He's about the only person. And it's like, I just let my, and like I said, I started doing comedy, and it was like, he went to one of my shows, and it was just a lot of fun. And I don't know, just joy. It's just coming up. It just comes up, and because I'm accepted for who I am. And that's the most powerful thing you could do. Allow someone to be who they are. You know, just let them be and know that the heart they're taken care of and connect them with my higher power. And I don't know if I have much more to say, but I'm just so grateful for this group. When I was secretary of this group, I added the line, I said, you know, I wonder why we don't raise our hands about sponsorship. And I said, because I've seen some movies and meetings do that. And I put it out to the group, and now we have that where you raise your hand if you want to be sponsored. I think that's the most beautiful thing. That says, you know, we're here for you, for the newcomer, because that's what it's about. It's about giving it back. You can't keep unless you give it away. And every time I come to this meeting, I realize that at that point, that is, even if you just talk to a newcomer, or if you're sponsoring, or you're being of service, it's all part of the program. It's like the big part. It's the 12 steps. So. That's what I like to share, so thanks.
We'll take a short break, a 5-minute break, and then we'll come back and hear Eric. Thanks.